Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to the first letter of the Apostle John, the New Testament, 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, and verse 10, 1 John chapter 3, and verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And our subject this evening is the importance of loving our brother, the importance of loving our brother. Well, last week we focused on the believer's relationship with sin. And well, we defined sin because the Apostle John defines sin as the transgression of the law. Verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law, the breaking of the commandments, the Ten Commandments. And it's not just the breaking of the commandments, it's the very attitude that we have against the commandments. This spirit of rebellion that is in each one of us by birth. We break the commandments and we hate the commandments. We don't want to keep them. We don't want God's authority in our lives. That is what is meant by transgression of the law. We break the commandments, we do not want the commandments, and in fact, we do those things that are expressly against the commandments. We go the other way. The commandment says we shouldn't do one thing, well, we run in the way of the offense, the sin. We defiantly, rebelliously turn against God. But when we are saved, well, the Apostle John says that we sin not. Whosoever abideth in him, verse 6, sinneth not. And well, we considered what that meant. It doesn't mean that when you are saved, when you are a Christian, you'll never ever commit another sin, that Christians are absolutely perfect. Of course, it doesn't mean that. But their relationship with sin is very different to how it was before they were saved. Before they were saved, of course, they loved their sin. But now they hate their sin. And yes, they are tempted. Yes, sometimes they fall into sin. But it hurts them so much. They are grieved when they see their sins, when they see their faults. They are grieved because they know how much sin offends God. And they know how much the Holy Spirit is grieved by their sin. And they know how much the Lord Jesus Christ had to suffer for sin. So yes, we do sin, but we hate our sin. And we fight against it for all that we are worth. In that sense, somebody who is born again does not sin because they don't want to sin. They hate sin and they do everything they can to prevent themselves from sinning. They love not their sins, but they love the law of God. They love to keep the commandments. And this is the difference between those who are unsaved and those who are saved. And well, there were various other things that we mentioned as well. But we come to verse 10 in this chapter because I want to consider these things that are before us, and I don't want to run out of time entirely. But let's look at verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And well, again, those words Whosoever doeth not righteousness, whosoever does not care about the law, whosoever takes sin lightly, and there are sometimes even Christians who call themselves Christians, but they have a very low view of the law of God, and they take sin very lightly, and they don't care about sinning. But whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. You have to question their profession of faith if they don't care about their sin. But then there is added, neither he that loveth not his brother. This is a sign again of somebody who is an unbeliever, somebody who is still in the world. He does not love his brother. And in verse 11, John goes on to expand on this thought. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And I don't want to recap too much on themes that we've already mentioned in this series, but just to remind you, this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. From the very start, from the book of Genesis, from the beginning of the scriptures, this has always been the message of God. And again, we think of the Ten Commandments. Why are the Ten Commandments given? Well, they are to teach us how to love one another. How to love God, that's the first table of the commandments. How to love one another, that's the second table of the commandments. If you love somebody, you won't steal from them. If you love somebody, you won't lie to them. The Ten Commandments, they're not simply oppressive rules. They're teaching us how to love one another. And so this is the commandment from the beginning, that we should love one another. And of course, when we considered our series in Genesis, we noted that the commandment even at the very beginning, the commandment given to Adam, remember what the commandment was? Not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why was that commandment given to Adam? It was out of love for Adam. Adam, if you eat of that tree, you will surely die, and all your descendants will die, and there'll be grief and sorrow in this world for all of your descendants. I don't want you to know that, Adam. Out of love, I give you a commandment. Stay away from that tree. It's out of love. So you don't have to know that hurt, and you don't have to know that shame. He gave the commandment in Eden out of love for Adam. And sadly, we all know what happened. Adam, he rebelled against God. He took of the fruit of that tree, and he knew that hurt. He knew that shame. That which God had put in place because he loved Adam, Adam did not think much of it, and he rebelled. He disobeyed God, and he had to face the consequences. But here, we read, this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Even in the Old Testament, even in the commandments, we see love, and that's so very important to understand. There is no part of the scriptures that are oppressive. But then, speaking of Adam, verse 12, we read of Adam's sons. And this is given to us by the Apostle John as an example that we are not to follow. The commandment is that we should love one another, but not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. You all know the account in the book of Genesis. I don't need to go into this in great detail. Cain and Abel. Cain murdered his mother, his brother, not his mother. Cain murdered his brother. And why was that? Well, because they were asked to give offerings to the Lord. And, well, Cain's offering was the fruit of the ground. And Abel, what was his offering? It was the firstlings of his flock. And Abel's offering was accepted by God. Abel's. Why was it accepted by God? Well, Abel brought his offering with faith. That's what we read in the New Testament, Hebrews 11. Abel is one of the heroes of faith. He brought his offering with faith, the firstlings of his flock, a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. Abel, you see, he knew that he was a sinner. He knew that his sin had to be atoned for. He knew that mercy had to be shown him from God. That's why he brought the firstlings of his flock. Cain didn't seem to think about that. Cain just brings the fruit of the ground. Cain seems to be just bringing the works of his own hands. Look at me, God, I'll bring you my produce. I don't need mercy. I don't need a sacrifice. I don't need blood to be shed for me. I bring you my works, as it were. The works of my own hands. Isn't that good enough, God? Well, of course it's not. Our works are never good enough for God. It's only that sacrifice that we bring to the Lord, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we bring. That's why Abel's offering was accepted, the firstlings of his flock. And well, because of this, Cain slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. And verse 13, look at what John says. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Well, we know that in Cain and Abel, symbolized in Cain and Abel, are the two tribes of the world. There are only two tribes in the world, two kinds of people in the world, those who are of God and those who are not of God. And well, there is that great war, that great conflict between those two tribes. And this is what the Apostle John is referring to here. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. And well, we read this in the Gospel according to John and chapter 15. And well, I just turn very briefly to it. You don't have to turn with me, but I read some of the verses, and we've already referred to these verses already in the series. But John chapter 15 and well, verses 17 and 18, these things I command you, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye love one another. This is to be the characteristic of Christian people, that ye love one another. But the world is hatred, we read in verse 18. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Christians must expect this, that we will be hated by the world. This is very clear. Verse 19, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, was persecuted, greatly persecuted, crucified. And so it will be with the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. If they persecuted the Lord Jesus Christ, they will persecute us. And well, in John chapter 8 and verse 44, well, the Lord Jesus Christ said, or rather John 7, rather, and verse 7, the Lord Jesus Christ says that the world hates me because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Why does the world hate the Lord Jesus Christ? And by extension, why does the world hate Christian people? Because we testify of it that the works thereof are evil. And in other words, what that means is, Christian people and the Christian message, by the preaching of the gospel and by the conduct of Christian people, by our witness, we make out the world to be evil. We show, we expose the wickedness of the world. And that is why the world hates us. This is why the world has a great enmity against Christ and against his people. We will face persecution because, for example, we do not want to take part in the world's vices. We do not want to enjoy all the things that the world enjoys, all the sinful things. We don't want to do it. Christian people don't want to do it. And that's why the world hates us, because we come away from those things. We don't want to watch the same things that unbelievers watch. We don't want to laugh at the same jokes that unbelievers laugh at. And because we don't do that, the world hates us, because we make the world look bad. When we abstain from doing something, we make them look bad, and they hate that. I've mentioned this example before, but when I was working in secular work, I never wanted to go out to the pub after work, after the office hours have finished. I never wanted to go to the pub. I didn't want to go to the Christmas party. And people would get so angry about that. Why don't you want to come? And they'll try and get me to come. But the reason they were so angry about it was because, I was making them look bad. If I don't go, if the Christian doesn't go, well, it makes them look bad. We're doing something wrong. And that's why they hated it. That's why they hated me not going. That's why the world hates us. By our Christian witness, we're convicting them of their sin. When we, for example, live in a holy manner, when they see us living for God, when they see us keeping the Lord's Day, for example, spending the whole day in church, serving God, bringing in the children, it makes them look bad when they're all going to the shops and watching the football. That's why the world hates us. When we protest against things like abortion, it makes the world look bad because they love it. When we protest against same-sex marriage, it makes the world look bad. Therefore, the world hates us. We trouble their conscience. And, the world hates anybody who troubles their conscience. So, dear friends, this is what is being explained to us in 1 John chapter 3. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. This, after all, is why Cain slew his brother, because Abel made Cain look bad. This is what is presented to us here. Why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. That's why he killed him. Therefore, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. And, we have to be aware of this, because this explains so much of the enmity of the world against Christians at the present time. But let's move on, because time is already pressing on. But verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Well, I've mentioned this before, but one of the great signs that you are saved is that you love the brethren, you love Christian people. In other words, before it was not like that. I've spoken to countless Christians who tell me that before they were saved, They didn't like Christian people. They hated Christian people. And they didn't want to speak to Christian people who were no doubt going to ask them, are you saved? Have you thought about spiritual things? They hated that. I don't want to have that conversation. But when they were saved, then they loved the brethren. Then they wanted to speak to them about God. They loved the brethren. They loved being amongst the Lord's people. Totally changed. This is how you know that you are saved. You love the brethren. And by the way, when we think about loving the brethren, why do we love one another? Because we love God. That is why we love one another. We don't love one another because we're wonderful people, because, oh, he's so clever and she's so talented. That's what the world does. That's the worldliness. We love one another because we love God. You look at somebody, you see their love for God. You see how much they sacrifice for God. You hear them speak about God. That kindles your love for them. Love for the brethren. So this is very different to the world loving one another. We love one another because we love God. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. He's still spiritually dead. And verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Well, last week we spoke about sin and how sin is the work of the devil. When we sin, we are doing the work of the devil. And, well, the devil really is indirectly referenced here. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Satan was a murderer from the beginning. And if you hate, well, then you are following after him. You are doing his bidding. Hate and murder, well, they go together. And, well, I turn very briefly to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. Again, you don't need to turn to it. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he talks about that commandment, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder. And he applies it in this way. Essentially, he says that if you have hatred in your heart, you are guilty of breaking this commandment. Thou shalt not kill. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Matthew chapter 5, 21, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Anger in your heart against somebody. You hate somebody. Well, you're breaking that commandment, because this is where murder starts. Murder starts with hatred. And if you hate somebody in your heart, well, you are breaking this commandment. Whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, raker, or empty-headed person, an insult, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. The Lord Jesus Christ is condemning hatred in the heart. Insulting people. Do we do that? Are we guilty of that? We've spoken about the world, but do we insult people? Do we have hatred in our hearts for people? Are we belittling people? Insulting people? Again, this is the way of the world. This type of hatred is so common in the world. Indeed, it even masquerades as friendship. When you sometimes come into contact with worldly social groups and worldly friends, I've seen this even in Sunday school children. They're constantly insulting one another. They're constantly belittling one another. For them, it's friendship. Oh, we're just having some fun. This mickey-taking culture. Constant insults. That's the world's way of friendship. But dear friends, according to the scriptures, that's hatred. That's belittling people. That's not love. We must follow after the way of Christian fellowship. Fellowship that will be as it will be in heaven. Fellowship, we will have perfect fellowship in heaven. There won't be any insults. There won't be any belittling just for laughs. Of course not. We love one another. We don't resort to the world's coarse friendship, just ribbing each other and belittling each other and so on. These things ought not to be. But let us move on. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, verse 15, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Well, as we begin to draw to conclusion, we see the example of how we ought to love one another. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered, he died out of love for his people. And this is how we ought to be. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Do we lay down our lives for the brethren? Do we have brotherly love in that respect? What does that mean, really, in real terms, that we lay down our lives for one another, that we love one another? Well, let me just give you some few practical points as we close. Loving one another as brethren in a church, well, we show commitment one to another. Commitment. We love one another, we serve one another. We have a local church. God gives believers that gift of a local church. And the church is really created so that we may love one another. This is the setting. This is the scene for us to show our love one to another. How else can we do it? Can we do it when we're on Zoom? Not really. Can we do it when we're refusing to come to church, forsaking the gathering of ourselves together? Of course not. The first act of love is that we have to be together. We have to be in the same place. Do we not see this in other spheres of life? A family, if they love one another, they'll want to be together, in the same place together. And we apply it to a church. We come. This is part of brotherly love. We long to be together. We are family. We love one another, and we make that commitment, as I've already mentioned. I often talk about membership, but membership is, you are showing that you love the church that God has called you to. You are committed to it. You're not holding anything back. The Lord Jesus Christ, he laid down his life for us. And well, when we are members of a church, you are almost saying, I'm laying down my life. I commit myself to this church. I love this church. I love the people of God. We join ourselves as members of a church voluntarily, willingly. As Christ went to the cross willingly, so we willingly become members of a church. We willingly serve. We serve in the church. We don't leave it to one or two people in the church to do everything. That's not loving. Oh, I'll just sit here and let everyone else do the work. Is that loving your brethren? Is that laying down your life? Of course not. We serve in a church and we do all that we can to help, laying down your life, your time, your talents, all for one another. There are other things we could say as well. I was going to turn to 1 Corinthians 13 because that teaches us about love. But well, we don't have any envy one for another in the church. The church is not a place for competing against one another. It's not a competition. We help one another. We don't envy one another's gifts. We're not puffed up. We don't show off in a church, making out as though we're the best in any way. We're not easily provoked. That's in 1 Corinthians 13. Some people, they attend a church and they're so easily offended. They storm out of the church because somebody has said something offensive. That person, that member said something offensive. I'm going to leave this church and never come back again. Is that love? Love is not easily offended, not easily provoked. Love of the brethren, it doesn't keep a record of offenses. We love one another. And well, we protect one another. Protect one another, not just physically. And well, we ensure that we provide for one another and we look out so that nobody is struggling physically, practically, but we protect one another spiritually also. If we see that a brother or a sister is struggling spiritually, we go to their aid. We spiritually protect them and pray for them, and we keep one another, and we keep this church from false teaching. That spiritual harm coming into the church, false teaching. Those who come with the wrong ideas about the scriptures, we don't want anybody to start believing the wrong things. We don't want anybody to fall into error and make shipwreck of their faith, because we love them and we want them to draw nearer to the Lord and to have the right understanding of what it is to follow God. So we protect one another, we love one another, we serve one another, just as Christ has come to minister, not to be ministered unto. The great example that we have. And well, we've run out of time, but in these verses, well, they show us what brotherly love is and what brotherly love isn't. Let us not follow the example of the world. Let us love one another in sincerity and in truth, and following the Lord Jesus Christ and his example. Well, let us turn as we close to our hymn books. And hymn number 649, hymn number 649, speaking of Christian fellowship and the church. Hymn number 649. Thou God of truth and love, we seek thy perfect way, ready thy choice to approve, thy providence to obey. Enter into thy wise design and sweetly lose our will in thine. Why hast thou cast our lot in the same age and place, and why together brought to see each other's face, to join with loving sympathy and blend as friendly souls in thee. Didst thou not make us one, that we might one remain, together travel on and bear each other's pain, till all thy utmost goodness prove and rise renewed in perfect love? Surely thou didst unite our kindred spirits here, that all hereafter might before thy throne appear, meet at the marriage of the Lamb, and all thy glorious love proclaim. Then let us ever bear this blessed end in view, and join with mutual care to press our passage through, and kindly help each other on, till all receive the final crown. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank thee for the teaching of thy word. And dear Lord, we do pray that thou wouldest help us each one to apply all these things to ourselves. Oh, dear Lord, we thank thee that thou hast called us out of darkness into thy marvelous light, that thou hast saved us, that we no longer desire to sin, that thou hast called us into a family, into a church, where we have this opportunity to love one another. This is thy commandment, that we love one another. So, dear Lord, help us that our love will be sincere, that it will be true, that we will not envy one another, that we will not compete one against the other, but that we will commit ourselves, that we will lay down our lives for one another and serve one another as Christ has done for us. Lord, we are not able to do this in and of ourselves. Grant us the strength, work in us by thy Holy Spirit, by thy power, O Lord. We are nothing without thee. But Lord, we thank thee for this church. How we thank thee. We thank thee for its gospel witness. And dear Lord, we do pray that the love amongst us may abound and increase more and more. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.